Christus glory fills the skies, Christ the true and only light. Son of righteousness, arise, triumph for the shades of night. Dayspring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return, till thy mercy's beams I see, till they inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief, more and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High
will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress,
my God, in whom I trust.
For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler
and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge.
His faithfulness is a shield and buckler.
You will not fear the terror of the night,
nor the arrow that flies by day,
nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness,
nor the destruction that wastes at noonday.
1,000 may fall at your side,
10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
You will only look with your eyes
and see the recompense of the wicked.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge,
no evil shall be allowed to befall you,
no plague come near your tent.
For he will command his angels concerning you
to guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder,
the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him.
I will protect him because he knows my name.
When he calls to me, I will answer him.
I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy him
and show him my salvation.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God,
you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land.
Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, beginning at the first verse. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today, the Lord your God, that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Armenian was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Lent verse.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you.
And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. O Lord, throughout these 40 days, you prayed and kept the fast. Inspire repentance for our sin and free us from our past. You strove with Satan and you won. Your faithfulness endured. Lend us your nerve, your skill, and a trust in God's eternal word. Though parched and hungry, yet you prayed and fixed your mind above. So teach us to deny ourselves, since we have known God's love. Be with us through this season, Lord, and all our earthly days, that when the final Easter dawns, we join in heaven's praise.
The sermon this morning is based on our gospel reading from Matthew, from Luke chapter 4. And I reread verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. On the pink or purplish colored insert on one side, there's some sermon notes if you'd like to follow along. And there's details here good for us to dig into and think about. And it's both simple and also complex. Complex and simple. That we are tempted by Satan oftentimes with things that at first seem quite good. Or maybe in a different way they would be good. But the devil tempts us to go against God's will. We have the fake dollar bill. Very pretty. Very nice. A lot of colors. Some of our favorite colors. But it won't buy anything. We have the real dollar bill. Just green and black and grays. But it does buy something. Jesus was given temptations, faced temptations from the devil. And standing on their own, apart from the situation, the temptations, the specific three temptations, might not be bad, but in their context, the way Jesus was supposed to live and work and do his work as a Messiah, they were temptations to sin. So, that first temptation, he's very hungry. Bread is good for the Son of God, right? Bread's good. Jesus, you were born of the Virgin Mary, and you took on human nature. You are the Son of God, and you took on humanity as well. And so bread's good for you. You're very hungry. Isn't that good for you? And then the next temptation. Well, you're the Son of God. Isn't ruling the nations good for you? Isn't that good for the Son of God to do, to rule the nations? So let me show you all the glory and authority of those nations. You see that, Jesus? See all that beauty? It's good for you. If you're Son of God, you should rule. So I'll tell you what. Since I have power and authority over these things, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. That would be good, right? And then the devil picks up on what Jesus is doing as Jesus continues to quote scripture. And in that third temptation, well, using God's promises, proving God's word is true and using his promise, that's good for you, the Son of God, right? Let me quote some passages to you. Jesus, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Prove these true, and that's a good thing for the Son of God to do, is to prove God's word is true, right? And each of these temptations, though in a certain way they might be good in a certain setting, in this setting, they were wrong. In this setting, what appeared to be good was not good, was a sin. Satan brings such temptations to us too, and to people who aren't Christians. Something that appears to be good or beautiful or charming or enriching, or you give the word. If you do this, then you'll be better. Then you'll be healthy. Then you'll be wise. Then you'll be wealthy. You can just... It'll be good for you if you do this. Jesus took the tact, Jesus took the decision to not go after the bright and colorful thing, but to go after his Father's will, to go after what he knew he should do and live out as the Messiah. My wife and I were talking earlier this week, and we thought of situations around the world, but oftentimes the temptation that comes to us doesn't look bad. It looks, as I said in our discussion, it looks shiny. It looks new. It looks nice. It looks like it will help me. But in fact, that shiny thing, that good thing, is not the will of God, and thus it is evil and will lead us away from God, and thus it is sin. The devil did not say to Adam and Eve, you want to be really bad? You want to spoil everything? You want to make everybody go to hell? I'll tell you what you should do. It's not what the devil said. I'm jumping down a little bit. But the devil said, you won't die. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what the devil said. Everything, if you eat this, Eve, everything will be good for you. Not everything will be bad for you. In fact, God's lying to you. God said you will die. You won't die. It's going to be good. And that's the way the devil frequently comes to us. This is good. This is right. This is better. We have that proverb, don't we? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And I have a little blank there as other. Because the temptation oftentimes comes to us and says, that person over there has it better than me, the other side. And we keep thinking about, or the temptation keeps us thinking about, I should be like that over here, not the way God has put me here, not the way God has shaped my life now. I should be that way, that other way, not God's way, but my way, what I think is better. And we should be very clear that the scripture teaches us and warns us that this is a normal way the devil tempts to make something look good or godly or wise. I have printed out there 1 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. And what I am doing, I will continue to do, Paul says, in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And I don't want to mislead you, but I think that's 2 Corinthians. I'll look this up. Because you'll go home and you'll say, Pastor, you gave us the wrong passage. 11:2. Yeah, right in 2 Corinthians. Chapter and verse is correct. 2 Corinthians, I thought that was wrong. An angel of light, Paul says. So the devil doesn't tell us what this temptation is going to make us bad or going to make us a sinner. The devil says, no, it's going to be good for you. And everything he presents to us is in the way of light and goodness. When, in fact, if we know the word of God and the will of God, we'll see it's wrong. It's not. And people deceive and tempt us with shiny things to lead us away from God's will, lead us away from God's word, to sin, to separate us from God. So how do we sort this out? Because this happens a lot. Well, It's very helpful that this temptation that Adam and Eve had is recorded for us in Scripture. It's the first temptation. It worked for Adam and Eve, and the devil uses it, and you'll see there's three blanks, over and over and over again. He uses it always, over and over and over again. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Two things you see, there's many things to see in this passage, but there's two things for this morning. First of all is the devil's lies. And that's the first part. You will not surely die. Contradict God. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Don't listen to God. Contradicting God's word, contradicting his will, contradicting the lies from Satan. And then the second part that happens there is Eve gets to think it herself. Oh, that tree, the food looks good. The fruit looks good. And it looks beautiful. It's bright and shiny. And so also it's going to make me wise. And I'll give it to my husband. Wow, this is a winner all the way around. It was her thinking. You see that? The devil's words, the temptation, and then human thinking that are not aligned with God's words. Temptations come to us like this frequently. First of all, the temptation goes against God's word, goes against his clear will. And then the temptation is to say, okay, why should I go against that? Because it's good for me, actually. It's not bad for me. It's good for me. So we need to be aware of two things. When that temptation is against God's word, it's wrong. And then if we're still not sure and we're still being tempted, we have to be careful of our own thinking, because we'll put in some justification to do that thing. God's word is wrong, and this is what I think. God's word is wrong, and this is what I think. And then we're tempted. We're not listening to God's word anymore, and we're listening to my thinking, and we do what we want. Jesus, in this temptation from the devil, and this is something Satan does frequently, we have to be careful, because God's word is holy and perfect. It reveals God's will. But we have to be careful, because sometimes the devil says, look at these three sentences and do it like this. Don't worry about those sentences before or after. Don't worry about that part. Just do this, do this. In Psalm 91, the devil left out the following verses. He said, for to Jesus, he said, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So, Jesus, jump. They're going to hold you up. But if we look at all of Psalm, you will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample underfoot. Maybe he could have tempted Jesus, step on that snake. But verses 14 and 15, as the psalmist writes this and God's protection, the psalmist then continues and closes with verses 14, 15, and 16. And it's in a quote, God says to the psalmist, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. I'll just give this much, because there's more in the following verse, but just that. Verse 14. Verse 14, the reason God gives protection is because he knows my name and holds fast to me in love. Jumping off the temple would not be holding fast to God's name and not loving God. That is to tempt God. And so Jesus said to the devil, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." Devil, that you did not tell me the whole Psalm 91. I am supposed to hold to God with love and know his name. And the whole psalm would show me that. The whole psalm would show I'm not supposed to jump off and test God, because that is not loving God. And verses 15 and 16 strengthen that all the more. And that oftentimes is the deception to us. We'll take a part of God's holy word and say, "Oh, look what it says right here. So that means you should do this and this and this and this and this." But don't bother with what says before or after. Don't bother with that. The psalmist says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name." Yes, God's protection is promised in Psalm 91 and promised to Jesus. But according to God's will, according to how we love him and hold fast to his name, that's how his protection comes, not testing God. So God calls us to know his word, to hold fast to him, to grow in it. We also, and very important, that not only the context of God's word and looking at all of God's word together, but to know that for certain God's word is true for us. It is a huge mistake to say, "Well, this part of God's word I think is old and outdated, and I won't listen to that, but this part I will. And so that means I don't have to follow this, but I can follow this." That is a mistake. It is all God's word. And the devil wants us to pick out the things that would lead us to temptation without understanding or going against other parts. And God's word, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, is the light for our soul. There is a lot of confusion in the world, in world events and everything. How are you going to sort through it? We need to be in God's word. God's word will not tell us exactly, "Should I buy that car that gets better gas mileage since the gas prices are going up?" It won't help you with that specific decision, but it will help you in your thinking and your values and saying, you need to look at the whole picture. God is in charge of everything. Even though all these crazy things are happening in the world, God is in charge of everything, and he's given you this and this and this to take care of. And he's given you this and this and this. Think through that. Pray. And God's word will help us to see that he's in charge, and what he has given us, he wants us to have, and he wants us to take care of one another. I don't think I've ever given this example since I've been here. We were in South Dakota. I was a pastor in South Dakota. And we had those four kids, four small kids. And we had a gift of an old 1976 Suburban from Deb's uncle. And it was a good, helpful gift, but it was old. This was 2001. So we had a 1976 vehicle in 2001. And Debbie needed that vehicle to go to work in winter, 30 miles away. She was working part-time at a Walmart. And coming back, I was glad that we had the Suburban for her to come through the South Dakota winters at midnight and later. And she got pulled over one time because the lights were not working. That vehicle, we couldn't fix the lights. Everything was, it was just not working. And somehow, either I told my elders of the congregation at Faith Lutheran, or they perceived it, somehow the word got out. And we had a local used car dealer in town. And they said, our pastor told him, I didn't ask him to, they said, our pastor needs a new vehicle. And somebody came to me, I think one of the elders came to me, said, Pastor, I think there's a new, much newer Suburban at our Chevy dealer in town. Why don't you talk to him? I did. Yeah, that it was not even 3 years old. It was a 1999. Low mileage. And the lawyer in town wanted to get the new model, but he had kept this up very nice. And so the auto dealer in town sold us this new Suburban. And in the time, I don't know if you remember at that time, but it was very hard at the time to find a vehicle with four-wheel drive, which my wife needed, with six seat belts. It was very hard. There weren't so many crossovers and stuff like that, crossover vehicles and things like that. So we were so happy about this. And just about that time, in 2000, 2001, 2002, there came out this saying, what would Jesus drive? Well, he would drive a Suburban because that uses too much gas. That's what it was. It was supposed to be a pious, good Christian thing. And I was furious that anybody would say that because I had six people in my family and I needed six seat belts and my wife needed four-wheel drive to get to Walmart at 12 o'clock at night and back in South Dakota winters. And to this, you can see it makes me mad to this day. That was not a Christian thing to say. That was misleading. It was coming out from the church, not LCMS, but the church somewhere. And that was from the devil. Because I needed to take care of my family, and my church, my congregation, found a way to help me. And it was a God-pleasing way. And that thing ran for a long time. We ran it to about 240,000 miles. The devil can do this. He can twist our minds into thinking, this is from God. This is the holy thing. This is what Jesus should drive. And if you listen to that, without saying right in front of your own eyes, you have a family, you have to take care of them. This is the situation you have, and this is working out, and this is what God wants to give you at this time. This is a blessing. And that's what Scripture would lead us to see. That wasn't in my mind to share that. But you see these temptations, and you see the false teachings that can come about. So we are in God's Word, and we pray. And God's Word will help us see through decisions or endure situations according to His will. The last point on that page, pray for guidance of God's word according to God's will, according to God's word. God will answer. This is an absolute promise. When you pray that God would reveal His will to you, there is nothing wrong with that prayer. That God will help you make a decision, that God will see you through this time. That is the will of God. It's not like, should I buy this car, what is your will? It's not that. You're asking to know God's will. And He will answer you in one way or another, or lead you along, or preserve you through the decision, whatever it is. Jesus said, and there could be so many quotes here, but I have from John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. According to Christ's will. Of course, that's don't ask for anything that's sinful. That's not according to Christ's will. Whatever would glorify God. To know God's will, to live according to His will, to make good decisions, it's God's will. He will answer. He will. Sometimes our judgment isn't too good. We make a mistake and say, I should have done this instead. Well, then God has been showing me. He's teaching me. He's keeping me in the faith. That's the main thing. shiny things, the bright things, the shiny ideas, they're not always God's will. But we go to God's word, what it teaches us, and see the situation he's given us, and live according to that. And pray, God, God, keep me. Keep me in your will. And he will. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have given us your word, and that in so many areas in our life, this word can help us and take us through and carry us and discern what is good and what is evil. Help us to always increase in the knowledge and faith of your word. Help us to pray to you more often about decisions that we have, or frustrations or confusions that we have. We ask you always, whatever decision we make, it would to glorify you and to help our family or to help our neighbor. Help us not to be misled, but to have faith in Christ, faith in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue confessing our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We now sing two verses, Hear Us, Father, When We Pray. You can sit or stand for this because we'll stand again for our prayers. It's just two verses. We sing.
Hear us, Father, when we pray. Through your Son and in your Spirit, by your Spirit's word convey all that we through Christ inherit, that as baptized heirs we may truly pray. When we know not what to say, and our wounded souls are pleading, may your Spirit night and day groan within us, interceding by his sighs too deep for words.
Pray the prayers of Zion Lutheran Church. Lord Most High, be the dwelling place of your people. For the sake of Jesus, who suffered temptation and death for our redemption, be our refuge. Preserve us from every evil and plague, and strengthen us in faith so that we may be satisfied with your salvation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death and brought us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, your Son trampled the serpent underfoot and freed us from sin and death by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all who you call to preach Christ and him crucified. Command your angels concerning them, guard them in all their ways, and bear them up for the sake of Jesus. We especially remember you, before you, Lord, your people in Ukraine. We ask you to comfort and protect them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you bestow your riches on all who call upon you. Bless parents with all wisdom as they teach your children your ways, that all in the household may confess with their mouths that Jesus is Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, govern the kingdoms of this world according to your holy and gracious will. Protect authorities from every temptation of the devil, and equip them to curb what is evil and promote what is good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of all mercy, you answer those who call upon you. Hear our prayers for all who are in need of healing and restoration. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Sue, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Shiwi, and Pastor Berlin. Be with them in their trouble and rescue them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord will not be put to shame. Unite your people in a right confession of your word, and thus freed from disagreement over your truth, bring us with penitent hearts to receive the great riches of your Son's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your Son was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to suffer temptation for our sake as part of our redemption. Strengthen us when we are tempted, so that we do not take his obedience for granted. And teach us to rely upon your word as our defense against the evil one. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We We pray, O Lord our God, in holy baptism you have called us to be Christians and granted us the remission of our sins. Make us ready to receive the most holy body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all our sins, and grant us grateful hearts that we may give thanks to you, O Father, to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. The beginning is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in its kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. You're invited to stand or sit for a final hymn, 707, "Oh, That the Lord Would Guide My Ways."
Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways, to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. Order my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear. Assist my soul to apt to stray, a stricter watch to keep. And should I e'er forget thy way, restore thy wandering sheep. Make me to
delightful road, nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my